Bitsy knew the way and didn't hesitate when Tree Road narrowed at the edge of the Blossies. Nor did she when it narrowed again at the edge of the Ironwood. But when Tim understood he was truly in the endless forest, he halted her long enough to rummage in his pack and bring out a gaslight he'd filched from the barn. The little tin bulb at the base was heavy with fuel, and he thought it would give at least an hour's light, too, if he used it sparingly. He popped a sulfur match with a thumbnail, a trick his Da had taught him, turned the knob where the bulb met the gaslight's long, narrow neck, and stuck the match through the little slot known as the Mary Gate. The lamp bloomed with a blue-white glow. Tim raised it and gasped. He had been this far up the Ironwood several times with his father, but never at night, and what he saw was awesome enough to make him consider going back. This close to civilization, the best irons had been cut to stumps, but the ones that remained towered high above the boy on his little mule. Tall and straight and as solemn as Manny Elders at a funeral, Tim had seen a picture of this in one of the widow's books. They rose far beyond the light thrown by his puny lamp. They were completely smooth for the first 40 feet or so. Above that, the branches leaped skyward like upraised arms, tangling the narrow trail with a cobweb of shadows. Because they were little more than thick black stakes at ground level, it would be possible to walk among them. Of course, it would also be possible to cut your throat with a sharp stone. Anyone foolish enough to wander off the Ironwood Trail, or go beyond it, would quickly be lost in a maze where he might well starve, if he were not eaten first, that was. As if to underline this idea, somewhere in the darkness, a creature that sounded big uttered a hoarse, chuckling sound. Tim asked himself what he was doing here when he had a warm bed with clean sheets in the cottage where he had grown up. Then he touched his father's lucky coin, now hanging around his own neck, and his resolve hardened. Bitsy was looking around as if to ask, "Well, which way? Forward or back? You're the boss, you know." Tim wasn't sure he had the courage to extinguish the gaslight until it was done and he was in darkness again. Although he could no longer see the Ironwoods, he could feel them crowding in. Still, forward. He squeezed Bitsy's flanks with his knees, clucked his tongue against the roof of his mouth, and Bitsy got moving again. The smoothness of her gait told him she was keeping to the right-hand wheel rut. The placidity of it told him she did not sense danger, at least, not yet. And honestly, what did a mule know of danger? For that, he was supposed to protect her. He was, after all, the boss. Oh, Bitsy, he thought, if thee only knew. How far had he come? How far did he still have to go? How far would he go before he gave this madness up? He was the only thing in the world his mother had left to love and depend on, so how far? It felt like he'd ridden 10 wheels or more since leaving the fragrant aroma of the Blossies behind, but he knew better. As he knew that the rustling he heard was the wide earth wind in the high branches and not some nameless beast padding along behind him with its jaws opening and closing in anticipation of a small evening snack. He knew this very well, so why did that wind sound so much like breathing? "I'll count to 100 and then turn Bitsy around," he told himself. But when he reached 100 and there was still nothing in the pitch black save for him and his brave little Molly mule, plus whatever beast treads behind us closer and closer, his traitorous mind insisted on adding, he decided he would go on to 200. When he reached 187, he heard a branch snap. He lit the gaslight and whirled around, holding it high. The grim shadow seemed first to rear up, then leap forward to clutch him. And did something retreat from the light? Did he see the glitter of a red eye? Surely not, but... Tim hissed air through his teeth, turned the knob to shut off the gas, and clucked his tongue. He had to do it twice. Bitsy, formerly placid, now seemed uneasy about going forward. But... good and obedient thing that she was, she gave in to his command and once more began walking. Tim resumed his count, and reaching 200 didn't take long. "I'll count back down to aught, and if I see no sign of him, I really will go back." He had reached 19 in this reverse count when he saw an orange-red flicker ahead and to his left. It was a campfire, and Tim was in no doubt of who had built it. The beast stalking me was never behind, he thought. It's ahead. Yon flicker may be a campfire, but it's also the eye I saw, the red eye. I should go back while there's still time. Then he touched the lucky coin lying against his breast and pushed on.